Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's get started. Yesterday's daf was daf lamid ches. Today's lamid tes. We're going to do a review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's have in mind that our learning should be a schos for all the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. Should be a schos for all of us. And the chayalim, they should be able to accomplish their mission. Right? And also... And also have a mind
in the higher echelons over there.
Okay. What?
Put some brains in the high echelons.
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, Hashem controls the... Hashem controls the... Leib Malachim Yad Hashem. He has it figured out. He has a plan. We just don't know.
I think he used to.
He didn't just clue us in on it. Also have a mind, Lili Nishmas. Bas Ami, Bas Shlem Zalmin, Yermio, and Sar Bas Menachem, and Yitzchak Heschel Ben Avram Gedali, also for Shlema, to all who need it. And with that, we'll start our review. So we're starting on the bottom of the page on Daf Lamid Zayin Amid Beis. That's where we had gotten up to, talking about the two Kalim case. We mentioned that the machlokes of one person. Depositing 100, the other one depositing 200, and they're each claiming that they're the one of 200. Tanakama's opinion is that you give them each 100 and hold on to the last 100. And Rabbi Yossi says, "Imke mahiv sederama, you gotta make disincentivize the liar for lying." So that's the story. So you have to disincentivize this. So, and we talked about a second case where it was two kelim. One kelim was worth only 100 zuz, the other one was worth 1,000. And you take a portion out of the larger one, according to Chachamim, and give it to the other one, and the rest is munach. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have to have hifzid or rabba. No, that's not exact. That's not what it says.
So how do you take a portion of the kelim?
Like it's something that you took apart. That's what it's saying. Its value is based on its gold.
You look
value.
At your part right here, the cup. How will you take a chelik of that cup, tell me?
Some things don't work very well. Some things don't work very well, but look what the Gemara says. Why do we have to talk about both cases? Because if you just say the first case, look, that's easily split. There's no loss in the split. But over here, by breaking apart the big one, that creates a loss. Maybe they'll agree that you shouldn't do it. Kamash Malan, that they still say you should only give off a piece of it. And too bad that you're getting the loss. And Rabbi Yossi maybe only says that over there, not by the other place. The problem with that is that Rabbi Yossi says very clearly what his motivation and his opinion is. So he's not going to admit, just because it's easily split by the money case doesn't mean he's going to admit. The answer is, it's the Chacham's opinion taken loizu, absolutely, not only here, but even in the... more difficult to understand case. You give a portion of the other of the value to the up to the value of the lower keli, and that's what you give to the other one, and the rest is munachat shevelio. Even there, they say that. Okay, which takes us to the next mishnah. Somebody gives peros to his friend, even if they're starting to rot, you cannot touch them. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you should. You should sell them in front of a Beis Din, after all, to make it sure that it's a proper authority, because it's a major aved lebailim. It's giving back lost object to the owner by saving him from loss, basically, is what you're doing. So what's the pshat?
Are you mechuyev to do it? Or you could?
That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says to do. You should do it. So it sounds like it is a chiv. It's like a Shabbos aved. It's like a Shabbos aved. Yeah. Now, we're getting into what's the pshat of the Tanakhama? The answer is that Rav Kana says that there's a principle of the Meretz B'Kav Shalom Mitisha Kav Shal Chavero. There's a special affinity one has to one's own produce. And they like it more than the value, and the dollars don't count as much. Nachum Yitzchak says it's a different concern, that we're afraid that this person is utilizing those fruit as the truma for something else. So if you sell it, it's going to create a big problem because... other people will, unbeknownst to them, be eating truma. So that's the issue according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now, Kumar, the question, you give peiros to your friend, it says you cannot touch them, no matter what, meaning even if it's rotting. Therefore, the balabai can make a truma, a maizer, a makamacher. Now, if you're like Rav Kahana, the reason why you can't touch them is because Adam Rotsu B'Kav Shalom. And therefore, since you're not allowed to touch it for reason A, therefore the owner is allowed to use it for a truma, for other stuff. Like he's saying that my truma, this pile is coming out of that stuff that I gave as a bikata. But according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, how do you read this idea? The whole reason is because he's going to use it for Trumas and Maisers. Therefore, he could use it for Trumas and Maisers. So the Gemara says that's exactly what it's saying. Don't sell it because we're choshesh that maybe he's using it for Trumas and Maisers. Now that we told you, you're not allowed to sell it. Therefore, the Baal Bayis can lechatchila use it for his Trumas and Maisers. That's it. Rabba Bar Chana then Rabbi Yochanan, that the whole machlokes of the Mishnah is only b'chtei chesron. It's only if the loss is the standard loss. If there's always, you know, a certain amount that you could expect that you're not going to lose. Okay, and that's acceptable. But that's b'chtei chesron. But yosem b'chtei chesron, if it's more than the standard, everybody agrees that it should be sold in Besed. Even not only Shimon Gamliel, but even the Tanakam agrees to that. So this is definitely not like Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, because how could you sell it? If you're worried that maybe it's truma, then that's not going to be allowed. So what if it's a greater loss? Doesn't make it permissible. But it could fit in with Rav Kahana. Because Rav Kahana was only talking about maybe when it's standard loss. Then it's Adam Reutze B'Kav Shalai. Even though standard loss is definitely less than 1/9, right? And even a great loss is still less than one part out of 9 parts, and that's what it is. Adam Reutze B'Kav Shalai Miticha Kavan Shal Chaveru. That being said, that's probably just a guzma b'alma. You do prefer your own stuff, and the expression, but it doesn't mean that that's the actual literal value difference. Okay. So Gemara's question is, we said that therefore the Baal Bayis makes Truma Maisar Makam Achim. Why don't we worry that maybe it's more than the loss, and then he sold it? Because we're saying that's the kasha, right? Nizid and Tevel. So the Gemara says, since more than the standard loss is unusual, and if it happens, what am I supposed to do? Okay, good, it's unusual, so I don't really worry about that. So the Gemara says, and what if it happens? Can I sell it? What if the guy made it Trumas and Maisers? That's the question. Since he's allowed to make Trumas and Maisers, so why am I allowed to sell it with Yitzchak Mitzchak? The answer is, you're absolutely right. If he sells it, he's going to have to sell it to Kahanim and to assume that it's Truma. Obviously, at a distance. So according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, why don't you say the same thing? Sell it to Kahanim. What was Rav Nachman Yitzchak saying? Maybe it's Trumas and Maisers. So sell it to Kahanim. B'tmei Truma, no problem. The answer is, here's the machlokes. Rabbi Bar Chana says that more than kedik sronan is not common at all. And if it's possible, then it's going to only happen much later, like after sitting for a long time. Only then will it be more than the standard loss. If the Baal Bayis made a Trumas and Maisers on Makam Acher, he would have done it well before that, because he's not leaving Tevel around. So it's probably Truma by that time. And since it's Truma by that time, so you sell it to Kahanim, everything's good. But according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he could say, yes, it's common enough. And therefore, it can happen right away that it's very bad. And if you say, sell it, sometimes he's going to go ahead and sell it before the guy made his Truma Samaitis off of it. So that's why you can't let you sell it at all. Okay. Gemara then said a question. It says that if your mafkid peros, give for peros to somebody to watch, and they rot, or wine turns sour, or oil that also went rancid, and the honey that went bad, so all those things you can't touch it. That's Rashidas or Meir. Come and say, you should make a takana and sell them in a court. When you sell them, don't sell them to yourself, because it looks bad, bad optics. Don't sell it to yourself, only to others. So, and that concept we find by Gabbit Stuck as well, that when there's no poor people, so you want to get exchange out of your prutas to get bigger coins, as a value to the value to that. So, but don't do it to yourself. Don't provide change, only to others. And the same with a food a person in charge of a food pantry for the poor, and there's no poor people who want it, then you sell it because the food's going to go bad. But you can't sell it to yourself, only to others. Anyway, what's relevant to us is talking about Peres Tzibir Kivu, and it's saying you can't touch it. Or if it's rotted, isn't this Yosim K'dechis Ronim? No, it's corny. It's K'dechis Ronim. It's not a raya against this our principle. Ah, Yayim Ve'echem and Shem and Ibish. The other examples are definitely more than the standard. So the Gemara says, that's true. Those are more than the standard. But the difference is that once it hits that point, it's there. It's no, it's not getting any worse. Once the wine is vinegar, it's vinegar. And it has a value as vinegar, and it's staying at that. What do you do with rancid oil or honey that's sour? That's not, you know, whatever, that went bad. So he says they're actually useful for various things. The oil is good for the leather workers to make the, you know, it's still good to soften the leather. And honey is still good for camel cuts. See? Camels. You are right. It is camels. Camel has a cut on its back. You put honey on it, even spoiled honey, and it heals the wound.
But you're talking about only
so you
bee
could
honey.
Set it tied to the
bee
person.
Honey.
What?
The question was bee versus...
bee honey. That's what he said. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Which
what's
one has the curative?
This guy. Yeah.
Oh, Yankee?
No, the guest.
Oh, Volokhinov? Yeah, Misha, yeah, Moshe. Moshe Shimon, yeah, what about him?
He said that the honey that has properties that's able to heal wounds is only bee honey.
Yeah.
That's
right. Any other kind of honey doesn't do that.
What type
that
of honey
sugar.
There is?
That one is sugar. Oh,
like
that date
honey?
Date honey,
date.
Right.
Oh.
There's some extra goodies in it.
Yeah, but bee honey never spoils. That's like an unwritten rule. Never spoils, yeah.
It gets hard. It
yeah,
gets
but you
hard.
Could warm it up and it's good.
But for a short time, that's the problem. If
sure.
It becomes sugary, you warm it up, you
yeah.
Can use it, but within a very short time,
okay.
It becomes sugary again.
You could warm it
so
up.
So it doesn't, it doesn't
warm
pour
it
easy
guys,
anymore.
It's not relevant. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right there.
Whatever it is, the honey is...
But it's good stuff for you.
Anyway, it's bottom line is, it's good for wounds. It's a salve for wounds. The Chachamim say that you do a takana and you sell it in the best. And what you can gain? After all, there's no loss anymore. The loss, you hit the level where it's a loss. So what are you accomplishing by selling it? The answer is we're trying to salvage the jugs. Because the jugs, they're going to get the smell of vinegar. It's going to be very hard to get them out. And then nobody's going to want them for anything else. So what can I look at? Do we only worry about hefs and merubah when it comes to selling? Or even hefs and what? That's a machlekes. Okay. Small loss versus large loss. Shin Gom Liel says, in the Mishnah, you should sell an ambezdin because it's Meshav Abedil Bailam. So Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, said to Rabbi Yechanan, the Allah is like Rabbi Shem Ben Gom Liel. Rabbi said, the name of Nachman, the Allah is like the Chachamim. Problem is that Rabbi Yechanan already said elsewhere that Rabbi Chanan, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, anytime we have Rabbi Shem Gom Liel in the Mishnah, the Allah is like him, except for the three cases, Arav Tzid and Raya, Karina. Three cases in Shas. Everywhere else, the halacha is always like Rabbi Shem Gamliel, even against the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, you're right, there's two versions within Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now, question is like this. According to Rabbi Shem Gamliel, you can, from Rabbi Shem Gamliel, you can understand that there's an important principle that if you have a guy taken captive, and we don't know what's the story with him, you could put a relative to take over the state, and that's like Meshav Aveda, after all. We don't know when he's going to come back. If you don't, you know, manage the state, this creates a problem. So from the Rabbanan, it sounds like that we don't do that. So it's a machlokas regarding what you do by cases of captivity. So the Gemara says, how do you know whether that's what's going on? Maybe Rav Shem Gamliel over here would say, because the reason why you have to sell it is because it's losing its innate value. Over there, the land remains valuable. So the Karen is intact. It's just the produce. So maybe he wouldn't say going to the field. And even the Rabbanan, they may say over here, either because the Rav Kahan is concerned that Adam wrote with Kav Shaloyos and Tisha Kavan, or Rav Nachman Yitzchak, maybe it's Trumas. But over there, by the case of land, they would agree that you should put somebody else there. So the bottom line is, it comes out that actually the two memras are not the same thing. Putting a kara b'nichse shavoy is not nothing to do, and it's not the same principle as the case of selling the pikadon when there's some loss. Okay. But the problem is a review this and name Shmuel the Allah is like Rabbi Gamliel. And Shmuel says the Allah is married in Karav and Nixay Shafah. So Gemara says, isn't that because it's one reason? Rav says, no, it could be it's two reasons, and he holds both of them. And it makes sense because Rav said the name of Nachman that the Allah is like the Chachamim. But Rav Nachman says that you are married in Karav and Nixay Shafah. So that's that you actually put a relative into the captive's estate. So you see, it is two reasons, and that's the bottom line. Okay, so once we got into that, again, a guy's taken captive. Mamish, that's why I was saying on Shabbos, this is real practical halacha. One of the people who are, let's say, was taken as hostage. That's a captive. I mean, what else is that? And he has an estate. What do you do with the estate? Okay? We don't know what happened to him. We don't know what the story is. So Rav said that you put a relative to take over the estate so as to run the property. So it shouldn't run fallow. Somebody has to. No, if there's nobody. Sometimes there's nobody else to do it. So you take a relative to take over. The closest relative, whatever. Somebody who can handle it. Okay. Shmuel says. So Rav says we do not, and Shmuel says we do. So if you heard that the guy died, meaning that's what the rumor is. That's what they're saying. That he's dead. That's what they. So then, for sure, you should. If you didn't hear anything, so Rav says we don't, because maybe this guy who's taking over the state is going to ruin it. He's going to destroy it. So we don't do that. And Shmuel says that we do put somebody there, because since we don't let him act as an owner, we make him act like a sharecropper. He's only taking the amount that a standard sharecropper, whoever's doing, putting in the sweat equity, would be entitled to. He's not going to ruin the land, okay? Because he's not entitled to any more than the share that he's anyway entitled to. There's no reason to do that, okay? So Reb Elazar has a kash on this. It says, interesting idea. Pasuk says, V'chara api, I'm going to be angry at them, V'arak deskham, I'm going to kill you, okay? And he says, and then it says that your wives are going to be widows, and your children are going to be orphans. Obviously, if the man's dead, what happens? The wives are widows, and the children are orphans. What is that extra line thing? It's obvious. So the answer is that we're talking about a case where we don't have any information. So he's dead, but he's not dead. So his wife's a widow, but she can't ever remarry. These kids want to inherit the land, and they can't because they don't know what happened to the dad. So isn't that an indication that you cannot take over the land? That's what it's saying. So Rava says, no, I mean you can't go and sell it, but they could work the land. That's his way out of the puzzle. Anyway, the story took place in Arda, and there's such a case. And Rav Shesha said from this pasuk proves that you can't put a relative in, because that's what's happened. That's what we're saying. The guy's dead, but we don't have enough information, and we don't let a person take over. So Rav Amram says maybe it means that we don't allow the children to go sell it. So the Gemara says, are you from Bumbadisa that tries to stick an elephant through a needle hole? Meaning, like that doesn't, that's illogical. Just like by the wife, it's bichlal, no, there's no eitzah for her. She's stuck in this situation, and she has no benefits. So do the same thing over here. It's a stuck situation, and you can't work the land either. They can't. Anyway, bottom line is this: Marid Nechzei Shavu is a machlokes hanoim. The Braisa says that when you go into a Nechzei Shavu, you don't take it away from him. And not only that, even if he hears that the guy, that he's alive and he's coming, and he quickly harvests and eats some of it, he's Zaris V'Nizkar. Good for him. That's fine. No. Well, what are Nichsei Shvuyim? That's where the father or brother or one of the people who you inherit went overseas and you heard that he died. That's case A. Mm-hmm. Then there's something called Nichsei Nitushim. What is that? That you take away from him. And what is Nichsei Nitushim? That's where the father or brother or anybody who you inherit went to Medina Sama and you didn't hear that he died. So then we don't let you take over the property. And the last case is Reb Shem Gamliel says, I heard Nitushim is the same as Shvuyim. He says even there, you can take over the property like you would if you heard that he died. And then there's something called Nichsei Ritushim that you take away from him. And what is that? That Nichsei Ritushim is where the father or brother or whoever it is that you inherit was here. He didn't go overseas, he didn't travel. And then he just disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to him. Okay? So what's the difference in the expression between Nitushim and Ritushim? We explained that Nitushim is where he's taken against his will. Bakocha, Ritushim is the guy like just abandoned it because there was nothing. He just decided to pack out and disappear. Anyway, so that's the story, and that is where we left off yesterday. I'll take it from here to today's daf.